Believe it or not. So, the Alamo. Go to the next slide. Some of the background to the Alamo. Texas was part of Mexico, right? Mexico was a democracy at the time, and so Texas didn't mind being part of Mexico at that point. But then this guy named Santa Anna came to power, and he decided that democracy just wasn't in, and he decided it's going to be a dictatorship. And so he kind of changed the rules. And when he did that, those living in Texas weren't very fired up. And so go to the next slide. So what they decided to do is they said, you know what, we gotta be independent of Mexico. We don't like this dictatorship. And so they drove all the Mexican troops out of the Alamo, out of Texas, and became independent. Well, Santa Anna, he didn't like that very much. And so he decided, well, we're going to go back and we're going to retake Texas. We're going to retake the Alamo, and we're going to teach those Texans a lesson that just because you don't like what we're doing, too bad for you. And so Santa Anna was coming back in to retake Texas. Go to the next slide then. And so that's where this battle kind of got set up. And what you have is you have about 200 Texans inside the Alamo grounds and about 2,000 Mexican troops with Santa Anna outside basically to take over the Alamo and kind of make a stamp of you're not going anywhere. You're still under our rule. And so that's what's going on the beginning of the battle. Let's go to the next slide there. So here's some of the details of the battle. 2,000 Mexican troops outside, 200 Texans inside, 13-day battle. And on March the 6th, the last day of the battle, Santa Anna and his troops overwhelm the 200 Texans. They retake the Alamo, and you know, the Mexicans win, the Texans lose, and the Alamo falls. And so, you know, not the most encouraging story at that moment. You know, there aren't very many people alive left inside the Alamo. Most of them died in the battle. There are a few that still survived. And what kind of happened next really set some stage to what was going to happen 6 weeks later than this. So the few people that were left alive surrendered. Santa Anna basically killed all the soldiers. He wasn't going to take anybody. He basically was given no favorable surrender. Executed everybody. And he thought by being that ruthless, that brutal, that cruel, it would send the message to all of Texas, you don't mess with me. That's what he thought. That's what he was trying to accomplish. Go to the next slide. However, so we talked about that. Go to the next one. However, what really happened is that cruelty got out. That brutality got out. The Texans heard about what happened, how he treated the people, and they were just inflamed. And 6 weeks later, a battle was going to take place. But in those 6 weeks, the battle cry, "Remember the Alamo," that birthed. And the Texans rallied behind the injustice, rallied behind the brutality, and they said, "We are not going to stand for this." And this phrase, "Remember the Alamo," it just kept picking up momentum and picking up steam. And the Texans got unified, and they got just so almost into a frenzy over what happened at the Alamo. And so 6 weeks after the Alamo battle, 6 weeks after Santa Anna had a astounding win, kind of stamping, "I'm back, you're not going anywhere," that the second battle happens 6 weeks later. They're in a frenzy, "Remember the Alamo," and then they're all hyped up, and then 900 Texans go against Santa Anna and 1,200 men, and in 18 minutes, the Texans kill half the Mexican army, take Santa Anna captive. They only lose 18 men. I mean, it was ridiculous. And the idea was that they were so hyped up about what had happened, and this battle cry, "Remember the Alamo," Santa Anna didn't even know. He didn't even stand a chance. 18 minutes, and it was over. Half of his army was dead, and he himself was captured. So go to the next slide. So it kind of caught my attention, this phrase, "Remember the Alamo." It's in my history, it's in my memory banks, but I couldn't place the significance of the phrase. And I'm thinking about the phrase, and I'm thinking about what that phrase did, and then it started making me think, what if the disciples had a battle cry? What would they have picked? You know, and what happened with this battle cry? It was a unifying theme. It was something that unified the Texan army that was left. It called them to action. We're not okay with what happened. We're not okay with Santa Anna and what he did. We got to do something about it. And it really demanded a response.
Come on, Nick.
And the Texans responded, obviously, because 6 weeks later, they took care of Santa Anna and his army, and they won their independence. So it was a pretty pivotal thing to remember the Alamo in the history of Texas. You know, no surprise, if you're going to take this and try to translate it into Christianity and say, okay, what kind of remember the what would the first century Christian, if they were going to have something like this, what would it be? And, you know, I figured it would be something like this. Remember the cross. Remember the stone that was rolled away. Remember the resurrection. And so I don't know if they'd use one of these or all three of these or if they'd put them together in some cool acronym. If they did acronyms back in the first century, I don't know. But if they did, you know, I'm sure they'd have been great. But I want to talk about these this morning. You know, as Christians, as somebody that's at least seeking God, you're here this morning, let's remember the cross. You know, we take communion. We took it earlier. We take it every week. Why? To remember the cross. The Christian version of remember the Alamo. Remember the stone. Remember the resurrection. These are unifying things that we want to always remember. Go to the next slide. So, remember the cross. What's the purpose to remember the cross? And I'm thinking if I'm going to boil down the cross into one message from God, I think God would say it's clearly, I love you.
That's right.
Why did the cross exist? Because it's where God could take the biggest possible graphic image to communicate, I love you. You know, in John 15 and verse 12, Jesus says, here's my command, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has nobody than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. What did Jesus do on the cross? He laid down his life for the world, which includes us. He laid down his life for you, for me. There's no greater love than that. Remember the cross. Why? Because that's where we remember the love of God, the depth, the width, the height of the love of God. You know, a couple other verses that talked about the love of God. You've got John 3:16, which many of us have heard over and over and over again. But it's a great verse. God so loved you and I that he gave his one and only son. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love for us in this. Christ died for you and I when? When we were what? When we were still sinners. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do enough good deeds. You know, it wasn't like, okay, what an honorable thing. I'm going to die for Doug Husky because he's so honorable. No, when he was despicable, God died for him. God died for you and I while we were unlovable. He loved us intensely. Remember the cross. Now, I was looking at images of Jesus on the cross. They're graphic. You know, in today's world, we don't see crucifixions, thank God. But back then, they saw it. It was a graphic image. Bodies were hanging. They were bloody. Blood is graphic. Do you ever see blood and not it get your attention? You know, you cut yourself or something hits you in the head, and you're like, ah, what was that? And you look at it, there's blood on your hand. It gets your attention. Blood is graphic. The cross was a graphic illustration. They saw it, the first century Christians. They saw what it looked like. There was a crown of thorns on his head. There was blood running down his face. Had to be. It wasn't a clean image. It wasn't a nice little package. It was pretty gruesome. Why do you remember that? Because God wants us to remember how much He loves us. I'm willing to go through this because that's how much I love you. Remember the cross. I think that would have been a battle cry of the first century, and it should be a battle cry for us today. Why take the communion every week? Let's not let communion become something that's routine and lose its impact. Let's remember the graphic statement, not to feel bad, to feel amazing that God loved me that much. I'm sorry I had to go through that, but what a statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About His love for you and for me. If we don't do anything else, remember the cross. It should move us. It should do something for us, like the Alamo did for the Texans. Amen? Remember the stone. Go to the next one. You know, what do you remember about the stone? I think with the stone that got rolled away that was in front of the tomb, that should make a statement. You know, all things are possible with God. In Luke 18, verse 24, Jesus looked at this man who was a rich guy who wanted to follow God but didn't want to get rid of all of his wealth. He wanted his wealth and he wanted God. He wanted both. And Jesus called him to get rid of all of his wealth because it was holding him back from his connection with God. And so he told him to get rid of all of his wealth. And the guy went away sad. And Jesus said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Why is it so hard? Because we get tied up in our stuff. Yeah. And God now has to compete with our stuff. And we got to be careful of this in America. Amen?
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We got to be careful. Those who heard this, Jesus' followers, they heard this. They saw this interaction. They saw this tension. They saw this guy walk away sad because he wanted his stuff and he wanted God. He didn't want to have to choose. And they watch all this unfold. They're like, who in the world can make it? Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. There's lots of stuff that's impossible for us by ourselves, but us with God, it becomes possible.
That's right.
A man being raised from the dead, a stone that sealed a tomb, being rolled away and that changing, that's impossible.
Right.
Except with God. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Go to the next slide. Can you imagine what it might have been like? I don't know if you can tell. This depiction, that's a little angel over there, that little bright spot, the little white spot there, and there's three people kind of like, whoa, what just happened? Can you imagine if you walked up to the tomb, you saw Jesus buried, you saw this big stone rolled in place by four or five guys, and you go there to visit, the stone is rolled away, nobody's around, and there's this glowing, floating apparition. And you're like, what in the world? I think it'd be cool to see. I'd love to see that one. I don't know about you. I'd probably be freaked out, but I'd love to see it. I'd love to get freaked out like that. All things are possible with God.
Right.
You know, what challenge are you facing today? What trial has got you tangled up in knots? What condition? What reality are you dealing with that's a burden for you that you feel like this, I just can't see how this is going to change. I don't see the light at the end of this tunnel. And it seems impossible. We've got to remember the stone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That all things are possible with God. You know, I had talked about praying for 20 years. What have you been praying about for 20 years and you're just so ready for God to change this thing and it hasn't changed and it hasn't changed and it hasn't changed. A way that you think, a reality physically, whatever the case, and it's just hanging on, it's not being different. Is it possible that God can change your mindset to give you relief through that trial that doesn't seem to be changed? Is that possible? With God, it's possible.
Yeah.
With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
We got to remember the stone. We got to remember that with God, what seems impossible is not impossible. It's one of the great things about God, isn't it? We can have hope in every situation.
Yeah.
I think everybody in here can write down something that you're carrying right now that you wished had been changed a year or 5 or 10 ago. I've got them. And they're still here. Doesn't mean God can't deal with that. He can.
Yep.
But if He doesn't, He can help us have a way to deal with it until it changes, or even if it never changes, He can give us a way to deal with that thing so it doesn't crush us.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
And lastly, we've got to remember the resurrection. Victory. What's the resurrection? When you remember the resurrection, what's the message in the resurrection to remember? I think it's victory. Victory awaits. Jesus went into the tomb. It was over. It was done. Nobody comes back from that. Jesus does. Jesus comes back from that. There's victory in defeat all the time with God. All the time. How many times, how many stories in the Bible did it look like that's it, it's over, it's done, Daniel thrown in the lion's den, end of story, he's dead, next day, not dead, still alive, it ain't over. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, we're throwing you in the fire, you're done, you're cooked, it's over. Okay, hey, throw us in there, but whatever happens, just so you know, God's still God.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really ticked now. You're done. You're in there. Throw them in there. What are they doing? They're walking around, still alive. Are you kidding me? That doesn't happen.
Right.
All things are possible.
That's right.
With God. Victory, even when defeat seems near, is just how God works.
Right.
Look at 1 Corinthians 15 as we wrap up.
Come on.
Remember the cross. Remember the stone. Remember the resurrection. There's a set of verses here that talk about victory. Amazing verses. We should memorize these. We should read these every week to just keep our minds set on the things that God does for His children. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Yep.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives you and I victory through Jesus Christ. There's a day, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, there's a day you and I will meet God, and that will be a day where we will see the clearest victory of Jesus in our lives that we have ever seen before.
Amen.
We're going to come before God, we're going to come before the judge, and we're going to have to give an account. We are.
Mm-hmm.
And right about that time where the account says what you owe, is you owe life, you got a life sentence coming for your sin. And Jesus is going to step in and say, nah. He's one of mine.
That's right.
She's one of mine.
Come on.
You can take that sentence and you can just discharge it because I paid it for them.
Yeah.
Right.
And just when it seemed like there was no hope, there's going to be victory. Remember the resurrection. You know, the Alamo, I go to the next slide, and then one more. The Alamo was a unifying reality. It was a call to action. It was a fact that demanded a response, and so was the cross. The cross of Christ, it's a unifying reality for you and I. It happened. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus was raised. To say, I love you. I'll help you. All things are possible with me and you. There's going to be victory, the ultimate victory, one day when you die. And you'll see what I'm... Then it'll be very real to you, and you'll be so fired up. Remember the cross. Remember the stone. Remember the resurrection. And be moved to act. Be moved to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be moved to love others around you. Be moved to share the good news. Let's remember the cross as we stand and sing. Amen.